When we think about Easter, we realize there's a huge bandwidth of experiences and associations that each one of us has with it, all the way from thinking about the Easter bunny and jelly beans and that green grass and the Easter baskets to ham dinner to coming to church and hearing the scripture and singing our favorite Easter hymns, all the way to wondering about the physics and the metaphysics of what happened on that first Easter. The bandwidth is so vast with all of our varying experiences. And the same thing is true when we think about life as well. We say the phrase, life as we know it. But that's really life as you know it, life as you experience it. Because there, too, we have vastly different experiences and associations. It's like, is life beautiful or is it frightening? In your bulletins, I have some paired sets of photographs that contrast some different life experiences. And there you see some of the photos with a heading on top that says, what comes to mind when we think about life depends on our point of view. For example, if you just gave birth to a new baby, I'm going to bet that your point of view of life is probably different than if you are facing the end of your life, or if you're grieving the loss of someone you love. Or how about nature? Is nature exquisite and beautiful and loving, or is it harsh? You see the picture of the mama bird feeding her young, and that's so cute and so endearing. Is that a sweet and kind act? Well, doesn't it depend on if you're the bird or if you're the bee that's for dinner? What's your experience? Is your life like the photo of me and our daughter who's jumping for joy at the beach? Probably not if you are serving another 10 years behind bars. Has your experience with life included the comfort of mother and child, or the horror of war, spectacular sunrises, or tornadoes bearing down? When we talk about life, what we mean largely depends on our point of view, and the same thing is true for Easter, for the most part. And let me explain. For some, as we mentioned, it may go no further than bunnies and eggs or habit, and for others, others may focus on the first morning of Easter that has so much to it, it's so packed that the questions could never be answered in this lifetime alone. But then there's another dimension to it, and this is a curious one, because it may be even more potent than the once-in-a-cosmos event of a resurrected body on Easter morning itself. Because this reality of Easter that we're going to talk about is one where, regardless of individual belief or point of view or even faith, this one has to do with our commonly shared experiences as human beings living anywhere in the world today. And this one has to do with not only not a metaphysical phenomenon, but with the very first words that Jesus spoke that has affected and transformed the history of the world and all of our lives, wherever we are in the world, whether we know it or not. That has to do with the very first words that Jesus spoke on Easter morning when he said, one, go and make disciples of all nations. And two, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. Those two statements to me are possibly even more astounding than the Easter moment itself, because if it weren't for these two things, go and make disciples of all nations, and I am with you always, without these, even though there would have been an Easter event, a moment experienced by some people in 33 AD, we wouldn't have ever known about it. nor would anyone else who's ever lived in any other time or place throughout the world in the last 2,000 years. But his first words were, make disciples of all nations, global reach. And I am with you always. I will be present with you, with us, with humanity, for all time. And that transformed Easter from a momentary amazement to a sustaining presence and force for good that has been global and without ceasing ever since. A lot has been debated over the last 2,000 years about what happened with the resurrection. But when it comes to these two wildly impossible statements about what to do with the result of a resurrection, I say that that's even more earth-shaking because, as it turns out, he could not have been more right. I say wildly impossible because back in the day, 33 AD, nothing was global. There was no such thing as global. Global had never happened before, anywhere, with anything. They didn't even know what a globe was. And yet, in spite of that, he says, make disciples of all nations. Share my word, my will, my presence. Share my understanding of God. Share my love. Share how to treat one another. Share that. Do that all around the globe so that I am indeed in all nations. And then he said, and I am with you always. So that after my death, it's not just some spectacular moment, but I will be everywhere always. That, of course, is impossible. And yet, for as impossible and audacious as a resurrection is that lasts for a moment or even a few months, these two realities, a global presence and for all time, now that has lasting and encompassing impacts. And we think about that. Why would you ever make an outrageous kind of a claim like that to begin with when there's no such thing as global reach, global presence at the time? And then why would you say for all time and in all cultures, all eras? And yet, not only did he state the impossible, but then he actually did it. And did it all after his death. How do you do that? What is that? Power and presence that can do the impossible that we all lived with. I think that maybe the only reason that knowing this doesn't send our heads spinning like tops every time we think of it is because the impossibility of it has become, in fact, the norm, accepted as completely normal for all of humanity, whether some parts of humanity like it or not, whether some parts of humanity agree with it or not, or wish it weren't the case. But the whole world just goes, yep, here he is. His will is very active. His presence, his reach, regardless of a person's particular point of view or culture or location or time in history, love him or hate him, here he is. This has become part of our reality as humans, like air and water, the presence of Christ permeates. Against every single obstacle that humanity has thrown against him and overcoming all impossibility, he is present, potent, influential, inspirational, transformative, motivational, active, and a living presence in every nation, and has been so throughout all time since Easter morning without missing a moment. How does that happen? What is that? What is that power? What is that presence? We think about massive shared experiences that we have all experienced that have momentary impacts, and then they die and they lose power and they're gone. Huge events. Like, who won the 36th Super Bowl? Not a hidden event, not a quiet event. 87 million people watch this on TV. Many of us watch this on TV. Who won? It was only 18 years ago, 2002. We were all alive. But I'm guessing that none or almost none of you remember that. It was the New England Patriots. It was their first Super Bowl win. Or maybe you're not a football fan. So how about Hurricane Rita? You go, Hurricane Rita. Can't pick some obscure hurricane. Hurricane Rita, what's that? Hurricane Rita was the most intense tropical cyclone on record in the Gulf of Mexico, beating Hurricane Katrina as the fourth most intense Atlantic hurricane ever recorded. And that was just back in 2005. Powerful things, widespread cultural events that just fade and disappear in years, in decades. Jesus said, they're going to kill me, but I'm going to continue to be with you and inspire you and inform you and guide you and love you. And he was right. I'll be with you always with kindness, inspiring feeding programs all over the world, helping the homeless, refugees. I'll be with you inspiring educational programs, welcoming the outcast, providing aid to those who otherwise would have none. I'll be with you uplifting those without hope. His presence and power lives. With every Easter food basket delivered in these last few days, and that's true for every family who has received any kind of help from our church and from churches from every denomination throughout the world, whose existence is to do one thing only, and that is to carry out Jesus' will and his living message and his presence just as he said he would. In the meantime, since he said that, massive empires, movements, and historic events have come and gone. The Roman Empire, 1,000 years, incredibly powerful, gone. Jesus? Still here. The Dark Ages, 1,000 years, Thank God they're gone. Jesus, still here. The Renaissance, nice time. 300 years, came, went. Jesus, still here. Mayan Empire, amazing, 600 years, disappears. Aztec Empire, 200 years, gone. Ming Dynasty, 300 years. Tang Dynasty, 300 years. Ottoman Empire, 600 years, dominates, gone. Viking Age, whoa, 300 years, gone. Genghis Khan, special mention, 13th, 14th century, leads the Mongolian Empire to the largest known land empire ever. Presence from Asia to the Pacific. Yet not everywhere. And 100 years, gone. Jesus, still here through every one of those. How do you do that? What is that? Even the 6th century plague that lasted 200 years didn't wipe out Jesus. The Hundred Years' War, the bubonic plague, Attila the Hun, Henry VIII, Napoleon, Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler, all gone. Jesus, 2,000 years through it all, and now still counting, feeding, healing, encouraging, educating, inspiring, serving, loving. And we know how he's affected the world. And that was his gift to the world. And maybe the bigger question is, what impact does this most incredible presence and power now have on you? And that is your gift. I am with you always. Happy Easter. Amen.
Dear God, in the joy and hope of this Easter morning, we sing Alleluia with the fullness of hearts. Christ is risen. Love is stronger than death. And isn't it ironic, God, that our sanctuary, like the tomb, is empty today? And yet, Easter came anyway. We have gathered like the early Christians would in our own homes with our families to listen to your story of life and death and life eternal. We are so happy on this day, but if we're honest, we're also a bit sad. We miss our traditions, our usual routines of getting dressed up and coming into this sanctuary full of the smells and sights of lilies, the smiles and greetings of our Christian brothers and sisters. And yet, like the disciples, we celebrate the newness, the different experiences we are having now. And we take this time, God, to pray. To pray for those who are ill, for those who have had loved ones die. Their pain is real and raw. And so we ask you to hold them in your love and strengthen them in this exhausting time, reminding them of the glory of the resurrection. We come before you, God, humbled by the eternal and never-ending love you have for us and for the gift of Christ's resurrection. When you created this world, in that moment, you created all that was, all that is, and all that ever will be. And you created it all out of great love. You, in fact, loved this world into being, created humankind in your own image. In that image of love, you ask us to do the same in return for our friends and our neighbors, our communities, and our world. In the light of the good news of the resurrection, renew in us, God, our commitment to you. In the joy and hope of this Easter morning, we realize the depth and breadth of what it means to be your Easter people. For we are the ones who are called to go into the places in our lives and world to work for justice and to work for a full life for all of your creation. So remind us, God, that as your people, we represent you in every word that we speak, in every action that we take, in every breath we breathe. So help us to turn to you each morning at the break of the day and give thanks for another day, to ask you for guidance in our decisions, to ask you for forgiveness for the mistakes we may make, and to fill us with your love so that we may radiate your devotion to this world. And more importantly, God, more important than our asking is our listening for your voice, for your loving conversation that will come back to us if we can just sit in the stillness. So all this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and lives again, so that each one of us may find eternal peace and rest and ultimate love with you. It is in his name we pray. Amen.